time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey, 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 happy Tuesday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. I'm with Paul Gallant.
Yo.
Our producer is Sean Mapes behind the glass. How you doing, Sean?
Never thought to me this early.
Yeah. Pretty
good.
Not asking me first?
Paul, we know how you are.
What's going on? Well, now I'm buttered.
But you were at the Astros game last night in a Mariners jersey?
No, that was not me. The rumors are false. I did not, especially after yesterday talking about how I would not wear a Mariners jersey inside Minute Maid Park. I would also not wear an Astros jersey to T-Mobile Park in Seattle. That was not me. But yes, some random Mariners fan caught a ball, a foul ball, and then flaunted his Mariners jersey in the wake of winning two or three over the weekend. It was not me. He is not as handsome as me. He is not as in good shape as me.
Oh, that's the angle we're going with.
He did not look even like me. I'm sorry. It was a Mariners jersey. Not me, though, Vanessa. Nope. No way. Couldn't be me. No.
Astros had a great game at home. 8-3 final score against the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. The bats did get going. We were happy to hear that and see that. But there was an injury to our beloved Jose Altuve that has some people concerned. It didn't look great. And we have the sound from the moment that injury went down.
Slowly hit. Mayfield will have to make a play to second. And the throw goes into the outfield. Our team Maldonado will stay at second base. Aldi in a little collision, and Jose Altuve goes down after he ran through the bag.
That doesn't look good.
Ooh, when Blum said that, I was watching when Blum said that didn't look good.
Yeah, that's when I looked up. That's one of those moments that can happen as you get older. For anyone who has gotten older, maybe you've popped a hamstring doing something athletic once or twice. I know I have. When you're busting down the first baseline trying to run out an infield single, something like that can happen. So it seems like it's a hamstring. He's day-to-day. I guess it's not the end of the world right now, but you see something like this happen, Vanessa, especially on a night where the Astros bats, at least compared to what we have seen of late, did get going. All of a sudden now, who knows how long your leadoff hitter is going to be out. And Altuve, who's been, in the past, extremely durable, now has a hamstring injury. These things tend to reappear. And reappear very often. I'm no doctor, but re-aggravated hamstrings, how many times do we talk about NFL yeah. wide receivers dealing with that?
And Jose Altuve in the grand scheme of things is in his early 30s. That's not old, but when you've been playing ball as long as he's been playing ball, everybody's body is different. And, he's had issues this season anyway, getting started and getting fresh, and you can blame it on the shortened spring training, or you can just say, look, he's a little bit older, and when you're a little bit older, it's harder to recover from injuries. He didn't seem overly worried about it. It didn't seem like it was catastrophic. I would call it maybe cautious optimism. Here was Jose Altuve, and this is thanks to Mark Berman, of course, because who else from Fox 26 with the sound from the airport, I mean the clubhouse.
Feeling better than what I was expecting, but we'll see tomorrow.
What was that initial reaction? I know you were pretty upset when you went down.
Yeah, you never want to get hurt playing. You know, something I take pride off is to stay on the field. And, you know, obviously I don't want to come out of the game, but it is what it is.
Was it scary at first when you first suffered the injury?
Yeah, a little bit, but like I said, hopefully tomorrow we will do some tests and hopefully everything is fine and just not anything crazy.
Mark Berman's questions, well, was it scary? Was it scary? In that moment, did you want to die?
So going forward now, look, if this lineup is going to build off of what it did yesterday, or what I guess it's just been doing against the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, now they got to figure out who's going to be leading off in the short term. And to not have Altuve setting the table, all right, I guess you move Michael Brantley into that spot. That's at least what I would do. But this is not ideal. And now you have to wonder about what Altuve's recovery time is going to be. And I guess I'm just a little jaded, Vanessa, because of the other news that we saw yesterday where Lance McCullers got moved to the 60-day disabled list. And I suppose that that isn't surprising, but as far as hoping that we would see Lance McCullers anytime soon, I didn't get that vibe. And James Click, I guess before opening day, you know, they have microphones all over the field. He was asked about Lance McCullers, and here's what Click had to say.
It doesn't change his timetable at all. He threw again yesterday, again continues to throw without any pain, which is the main thing. If this were the off season, this would be sometime in January, possibly, when guys start picking up a baseball. And so right now the plan is to build him up to get him back to his normal starter workload. And so when you work that calendar and you think about what spring training normally takes and that many weeks and things like that, moving him to the 60 was, you know, it's always difficult, but at the same time, looking at the calendar, it shouldn't affect his progression at all.
I mean, the whole thing is very concerning.
Yeah.
And it's been concerning from the beginning because he was trying to remember the beginning we're talking is what, October?
Yeah.
When all of this happened, because Lance, very optimistic and was going to be back by the World Series and it was going to happen. And then it was, I will be good to go by spring training. And then he does his interview with Manav Gupta and says, well, because of the lockout, I mean, I'm giving you guys the timeline that you already know. Lance has continued to try to be optimistic, but it doesn't look great.
I hated hearing he say this is about January where he would be in the recovery. That makes it sound like it's 3 months away.
Yep.
I wasn't expecting McCullers back that soon. I was thinking June, to be perfectly honest, when I heard, because why rush him back out there? But that is a long period of time to go without him. And look, you've gotten great pitching, all things considered, to this point. I mean, really, it's been pretty good, especially in the bullpen. But the knowledge that McCullers is going to be out a little bit longer. Altuve, who knows how long he deals with this current hamstring injury.
What is that?
If he's ever going to have to deal with it again the rest of the way. And then Ryan Pressly dealing with knee inflammation. All right, I mean, that's three players that are banged up right now. Not the end of the world by any means, but definitely makes you a little concerned about whether or not this team is going to be able to make it through the entire season without experiencing a rash of these things.
I do think, I believe it was Mike Stanton that brought this up last night, that the Astros tend to lean on the conservative side with injuries and guys coming back. I'm not saying that to give anybody hope. I'm just saying they're not a team that is going to bring back guys maybe quite as soon as you could in theory. They want to make sure that the guys are good, that they're ready to go. And that is one of the benefits of having a deep bench and a good roster. And when you look at pitching, look, obviously Lance McCullers Jr., we want him back, but Justin Verlander is there as well. So I think the Astros are going to take their time, and that could be frustrating. But at the end of the day, I think it will prolong the careers of McCullers and Jose Altuve. What else did you see last night, Paul, that you found noteworthy? I loved, first of all, the ring ceremony was awesome. I don't think I've ever seen Michael Brantley smile that big. Immaculate vibes. Loved that. And then I just loved how together the team looked. I know that sounds cliche, but look, when you lose pieces over the last 2 years of George Springer and Carlos Correa, and you look at, oh, is the quote-unquote window closing? I liked the chemistry, and I liked what we saw.
Yeah, that was nice. They have, it's called what, the Championship Tower, I believe, where they're putting up all the pennant titles and, of course, the one World Series title, Championship Tower. The replica ring, some random Braves fan decided to come on Astros Twitter and say it's embarrassing to have runner-up rings, essentially, as he called them, which is kind of funny because the Braves have done that like seven times in their history.
It's also not uncommon. That happens in sports all the time.
Specifically baseball. It's a bigger deal to win, I think, the American League than it is to win your conference in other sports.
In like the NFL, yeah.
NFL, NBA. I think it's a little bit of a bigger deal. I mean, no denying
but
that.
But Bengals fans had AFC champ jerseys, you know.
Right, but they suck.
Stuff.
I mean, they're a loser organization.
It has been a long time for Cincinnati, granted.
Right. I mean, obviously, we here following the Houston Texans, we know what suck is. But, I mean, it's a little different for them. For the Braves to be talking about that, like, the Braves are the kings of second place. The Braves were always, in the end, close, but no cigar. And just think about the early 90s and the late 90s, too, like where they kept on showing up in the World Series, and I think they only have one ring to show for it. A real ring, like you guys talk so much about.
quote-unquote real ring, no asterisk.
Atlanta all of a sudden getting cocky over the fact that they've won two titles instead of being like a choking dog loser sports city has been very annoying to me because they always feigned casual indifference. Like, it's one of those cities that seems to not care that much about sports.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden, oh, Georgia wins the national title. Oh, wow, the Atlanta Braves win the World Series. Now these people are chirping and chirping and chirping. And it's really annoying.
I will say they've had a good year and a half or so. I have a friend, Maria, that works there, and she's gotten to cover, obviously, the World Series and then the college national championship. But then the Hawks went on a little run.
Right. The Hawks, of course, did well, too. Yes.
Falcons are a different story. But yeah, I mean, it's been some fun times for folks there in Atlanta.
No doubt it's been some fun times. And look, I'm not trying to take away from what they did. All I'm saying is it's annoying when you have a friend who is a fan of a team, but he never admits his fandom for said team when they stink.
And
then find Steve. My friend Steve, who is a Buffalo Bills fan, I just found this out like 3 years ago when the Bills got good again. During college, when the Patriots were bullying the Bills, not a peep, Steve. So now, all of a sudden, Steve's acting all cocky because the Bills are good. It's like, well, that's not fair. We didn't even get to talk trash to you in college. So I feel like Atlanta's acting like that.
Yeah.
They're being a Steve.
My thing is, do people view Atlanta fans the same way they view Houston fans? Sports fans.
Well, if they do, I'll cut them.
Oh, okay.
I mean, look, there's a clear, I'm kidding. Am I? There's a clear level of disinterest in Atlanta sports. It's very strange. Outside of their soccer team, like the Falcons, there's a collective meh. I would imagine the Braves, now that they're like playing out in the suburbs, there's probably a little bit of a collective meh on that front. So,
yeah, that was a big thing, too.
I guess I'm just trying to be defensive and avoid answering the question.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I think from a larger standpoint, they're viewed out as a very similar. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the Browns accused of tanking, and you won't believe what Andy Reid said about his offense this coming season. That's next.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, you're listening to Vanessa and Gallant. Never a shocker when I hear that Hugh Jackson is involved in something controversial, because I just do not think he is a good person.
Whoa. Elaborate.
Yeah. How about the fact that, let's start with him hiring Art Briles after he ignored sexual assault. Mm. Let's start with all the things that I heard about him in Ohio.
Okay.
Probably not as bad of a person as I'm saying, but the bottom line is that he's been involved in some things.
At the very least, I think, Vanessa, he is someone who enjoys eating feet because he puts his foot in his mouth so much.
Yeah.
I mean, let's go to the story we're about to talk about.
In February, he admits that not only was he paid to tank, but he took the money when he was in Cleveland.
And then he recanted his statement.
So he had said this initially to ESPN, and then the New York Post had written about it. He had said, what I was trying to make sure people understood is that we were paid for. You're going to see it as losing. But the way the team was built, there was no chance to win. And win at a high level. You're in a situation where you have to do the best you can. My record that year was 1-15. And then he admits that he took the money. So that's in February. Then he kind of walked it back.
He must have walked it back because he realized that he could potentially implicate himself, say he did take this money. I suppose this is, and I've seen a couple of the details from Brian Flores' lawsuit, but I remember there was some statute about anti-bribery that had been brought up in that. And I'm assuming that Flores feels pretty comfortable coming after the Dolphins and these other teams, and specifically the Dolphins when it comes to tanking, because he did not accept said offer.
Okay.
You actually have something to stand on. Because if you take the offer,
then why talk about it?
Right. I mean, it would be taking a bribe and being a whistleblower.
Right.
The bribe is still, I mean, the very least, it's something that should be completely shamed in the case of Hugh Jackson, if not potentially be something that has legal repercussions, whether from the NFL or
do you
from
think the Browns tank
the law
intentionally?
I think a lot of teams tank, and it's interesting that all of a sudden, Vanessa, the league is taking this seriously, the NFL. It's been pretty, I think, obvious a couple of seasons. Say, the year that the Colts didn't have Peyton Manning, where he suffered the neck injury going into the year. Right.
2011. You got Andrew Luck on the board.
It seemed like they were angling themselves to get that quarterback. And there are a lot of other teams that have done it, too. It's hard to make, I think, a strong, compelling case for most NFL teams when it comes to tanking, because the players aren't going to fall in line with this. But if there are actual directives that are taking place upstairs, that shouldn't be surprising. To me, I'm just surprised that all of a sudden now this is something that we're taking seriously.
I don't remember the exact situation, but do you remember when Doug Peterson made the quarterback move in the fourth quarter that when he was with the Eagles?
Yeah.
Where it was like, this was so vehemently clear that it was not Doug Peterson's choice.
Yeah. Who did they put in? It was like some guy that I'd never heard of before.
Yeah. And Doug Peterson.
Mr. Magoo looked, here under center.
Right. Like he was like physically in pain for having to hear these orders on the headset and then make that move. So I think it's clear. I don't know that the Colts, I mean, it's like you can never prove it, right? But with Hugh Jackson, he just came out and said that they did. Now there will be an investigation. Mary Jo White, former SEC commissioner, is leading the investigation. She says, quote, the review is ongoing. It's expected to conclude soon.
And by the way, Securities Exchange Commission, not the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah, that would make a lot of
sense. It just means more here.
So he's currently the head coach at Grambling State still, Hugh Jackson.
I can't believe he got hired.
I can't believe he got hired. I can't believe he didn't get fired once he hired and then they had to let go Art Briles. He's hanging. He's still the head coach.
Oh, and I remember that there was the possibility that maybe he was dodging taxes with his own
Oh my God, I forgot about
foundation.
That.
It was something that was discussed on the internet. There were no actual allegations made against it. But then he sort of self-incriminated it himself with the account responding to the actual accusations.
That was so bad.
He's just not a sharp man,
right.
In my opinion.
That's what I was getting at the beginning of the segment.
Yeah, he's a bit of a dummy. And I find it funny that the Browns seem to be in more hot water than the Dolphins for this. Because you would think with the Brian Flores lawsuit that this would have taken center stage. But perhaps this is something easy for the NFL to punish when it comes to potential tanking because Jackson's out of the league. I don't know, though. I mean, the Browns definitely have to be getting on the NFL's bad side with, first off, just the Deshaun Watson contract.
Guaranteed money.
Forget that they gave him the opportunity. The Deshaun Watson contract and then the Denzel Ward contract, which they just gave him yesterday, cornerback. They gave him the most money in NFL history at cornerback, $71 million guaranteed. I bet the NFL is already annoyed with them. You would think that they would potentially have also now looking at with Hugh Jackson, and I guess this investigation has been ongoing for a while. It could come down pretty hard, but I wonder what they would actually do. Is Jimmy Haslam in danger? I don't know about that.
Hugh Jackson tells Sports Illustrated, 2 years ago I tried to do this the right way through bylaws and constitution of the NFL to ask them to investigate the Cleveland Browns for all the allegations I've made. So why open an investigation now? This is the only thing Hugh Jackson says where I'm like, yeah, I mean, why? He does have a point of why are they doing it now? When he said this 2 years ago and doubled down on it in February and all of that. So he does have a point there. But I think the answer is the Brian Flores lawsuit. I think that when you have multiple teams that are being accused of tanking, franchises, owners, whatever. Now, on top of that, you have the Washington Commanders who are being accused of, among a myriad of things.
Everything.
Everything involving women, sexual harassment, and then most importantly, I say that semi-sarcastically, stealing money from other owners.
You know, we did talk about who killed JFK yesterday. And
second shooter.
I mean, was it a Washington Commander? I can't say. Would you be surprised at this point in time?
No. Also, PETA isn't real. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, especially with Hugh Jackson still having a college football job.
Yeah. We are man, he's – I just am annoyed. And someone, Largo on Twitch said, getting an NFL coach is a big pull for a SWAC school. Yeah, but not Hugh Jackson.
Right.
Hugh Jackson's one of the worst coaches in NFL history. Like, factually, he was 1-31 in his first 2 years at the helm of the Browns.
Not great, guys.
I mean, the best thing for the Browns here is they could probably just point at Hugh Jackson and say, look at this guy, the things that he says, the things that he was saying behind the scenes where he was apparently embarrassingly excited about the Hard Knocks season and watching the show, talking about what was shown on the show afterwards.
How arrogant do you have to be as an owner to be like, I just want to watch myself?
But that's apparently him. Hugh Jackson loves to talk with those in the NFL media. There's a reason that he was glad-handled for essentially 2 years in a row, despite zero actual results with the Browns. And I feel like he has not been destroyed nearly enough in his time since then. I remember there was this story, and this brings Baker Mayfield back into the story, who, of course, another part of the Browns that is a bit controversial at this point in time, where Baker Mayfield thought it was BS that Hugh Jackson just took a job with the Bengals. Hugh Jackson basically went to the Bengals and said that the Browns had no one that was that had any talent, that it was impossible to win there, whined, complained, didn't talk about tanking then, just made excuses for himself. Oh, this team just wasn't good enough for me.
Hugh Jackson, leader of men, as I say sarcastically. Now, who is a good leader? I think Andy Reid is a good leader. The locker room seems to like him. Obviously, he's kind of had the opposite of a career of Hugh Jackson. But he said something that raised some eyebrows. This is in Pro Football Talk, and Andy Reid was doing an interview. Obviously, we know that the Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill to the Jags, or the Dolphins, excuse me. And the Cheetah will no longer be Patrick Mahomes' biggest deep weapon. So Andy Reid said on Monday he's not expecting there to be many changes within their offense. Quote, I don't think it'll be significantly different, Reid said during a video conference. Quote, it'll be similar to what we did in the games, and this is offensive scheme. It'll be similar to what we did in the games that Tyreek couldn't play in. There are certain things that he did very well that we'll have people try to fill in those spots, but without forcing anything. Normally what we do on this is we'll try to play to the player's strengths, blah, blah, blah. We'll see what the new guys can do, and we'll work around that.
Patrick Mahomes struggled last year, and now he doesn't have his best, most dangerous, most unique,
most
fastest,
speedy, yeah,
everything. Tyreek Hill does not have an answer currently in the NFL. Eventually, his skills will erode, and he will not be the player that he is at this point in time, and maybe that's what the Chiefs are saying to themselves. Let's get out before he hits a wall. But he's not there now. And last season, in a year where Mahomes probably struggled more than he ever has before, yes, they figured it out by the end of the year, and maybe we overreacted, but he had a tendency to, when plays got extended, look for Tyreek Hill. Who can blame him? I would too. Now you don't have that guy, and acting like Marquez Valdes-Scantling is going to be able to fill that void, just ask Joel Blank, our resident Packers fan, how that's likely going to go. He is not Tyreek Hill. Is he a plus player? I suppose. He's not a great player, that's for sure. And you had one in Tyreek Hill to act like moving on from him, there's not going to be a difference. I'm sorry, he's the most unique player offensively in the NFL right now.
And they are going to have to change their offensive scheme because there were a lot of plays where the play that seemed to be drawn up, and you saw the meme where it was like, F it, Tyreek's down there somewhere, right? That's not going to be the case anymore.
There's improv that you can do with Tyreek Hill that you can't do with just about any other wide receiver in the game. It's because of his speed. You cannot cover that guy for 3 to 4 seconds. Maybe you can have him for 1 to 2, or you can have him in a spot where he's not going to get a ton of yards on you. But shoot, he's in open field and a throw to the flat. That's 5 yards guaranteed every single time. And a play that extends, he is going to all of a sudden find himself 10 yards away from any other defender. It's just that's just how it works in the NFL for most players as it is. But when it's with him, it happens so quickly. And I just don't think that the Chiefs are going to be the same team, scary-wise, this year. Nothing against Mahomes. Still has Travis Kelce. It's not like the team is going to all of a sudden fall off a cliff, but they will not be the absolute destroyer of world's offense that we've been so used to the last couple of years.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're discussing the NBA playoffs. Plus, do you still hate Steph Curry? We want to hear what you have to say. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, I thought this series would be a little bit closer than it is, but the Raptors currently being dominated by the Philadelphia 76ers in the NBA playoffs. 76ers leading the series 2-0. What have been your thoughts so far?
I'm annoyed because I hate that James Harden has an easy, potentially, first off, definitely walk to the next round of the playoffs. Yeah. And second, that he's not going to have to, with that Sixers team, go up against Boston or a clearly tough Brooklyn team or a Milwaukee. They'll play Miami, and Miami obviously has the one seed in the Eastern Conference. But Harden is just coasting along with the rest of this team. And if you take a look at the numbers, I mean, it's Tyrese Maxey, 38 points in Game 1. It's Joel Embiid last night in Game 2. Harden, statistically, and I did not watch the game closely, but it's clear he didn't have much of an impact.
I had it on.
14 points, 1 of 4 from outside, 5 turnovers in this game. It is annoying that he has actually found himself to the more ideal situation as far as advancing in the playoffs. Because Brooklyn with Boston, I think that series is going to go probably 7, but I think Boston's ultimately going to end up winning. That Brooklyn team, I feel like, is a little bit more star-heavy, that's for sure. Is it bad that I'm this petty with Harden?
No, because I'm the same way, and I think a lot of people are too. Look, Harden and Maxey, they screen for each other. And there are a lot of people, and I love this article in The Ringer that kind of broke down Harden's role. Philly has consistently found good looks when Harden and Maxey screen for each other, allowing Harden to hunt, quote, the right switch to attack, namely on smaller defenders VanVleet and Trent Jr., and giving Maxey the chance to explode through gaps and scrambled coverages. We had talked about Maxey and how important he was going to be in this series, and it is a bummer that Harden's road is just a little bit easier.
Yeah, I want to see him lose. Yep.
From the perspective of 76ers fans, like I saw somebody tweet, Harden doesn't need to be a 30-10 guy anymore. I present to you the production of Tobias Harris and Tyrese Maxey, on top of Joel Embiid being an MVP. Run the offense smoothly, contribute defensively, and selectively take over. My problem is that Harden's attitude was that he was going to be the 30-10 guy, that he was going to be, Paul's rubbing his head because he hates him so much.
You know what? Why am I even trying to hide who I am? Why I tried a couple of weeks ago to say I'm beyond this. I'm not.
Working on it.
This is bogus. This is so damn annoying that he has lucked his way onto a situation that is going to get him to the Eastern Conference Finals. I feel like Philadelphia is going to beat Miami. I have no faith in humanity right now. It is so annoying that he can just coast and do absolutely nothing while Tyrese Maxey basically carries the load that he should be carrying. And now all of a sudden, Harden's essentially a third figure on his own team. It is infuriating. And he doesn't care. That's the worst part about it, too. Like, he gives no cares. And he knows that he doesn't care. And he knows that it probably drives people like me crazy to think, like, wow, Harden is a disgrace. He plays basketball without honor. He's lazy. He doesn't do things that he's supposed to off the ball. He doesn't play defense. Oh, he plays post defense. Shut up. It's so frustrating.
I thought the 76ers would win, but I didn't think that it would be this dominating.
I thought Harden would have to play well. And honestly, I thought it was possible for him to play well this round of the playoffs. Next round is traditionally where it all goes to bleep for him. Ugh, I hate it. I really hate it. They're going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. Hell, the Bucks and the Celtics or the Bucks and the Nets might beat each other up so much that they'll also play a banged-up version of them. If you've been watching this Boston-Brooklyn series, my God, they're going to kill each other by the end of it. They're beating each other with rocks, essentially, in the post.
It's definitely a deeper, more talented Philadelphia 76ers team, and yes, it is driving both of us nuts. I am curious as to see if any Houston sports fans are actually still rooting for James Harden. He has the restaurant here. He has people here that have said that he made the right moves. And look, he's part of this new era NBA, even though he's one of the older guys. He's part of the new era of athletes. We've talked about it. Player empowerment. Do what's best for yourself. Whine and complain until you get what you want. And then when you don't, you exit.
Yeah. That's it. That's how it works.
Paul's really happy about it. Also, Paul Gallant looks like Mike Fiers today a little bit.
That's what the people on Twitch are saying. Lance McCullers behind the glass. Yeah. Sean Mapes looks like Lance. He's got the flow in the back. And I apparently look
like Mike McDaniel.
I look like the rat, Mike Fiers.
You do today, though.
I'm sorry.
In the green, decked out in the green and all of that.
It's my high school hat. It's not an A's hat. No, no one knew.
But
apparently
the colors,
people thought I was Astros, Mariners, and A's
hat. But that doesn't even look like the A's design.
It is the same brim. I mean, it's Kelly Green or Forest Green and Green Bay Gold. So, you got a little bit of both here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I look like Mike Fiers.
You do look
Harden
like Mike Fiers today. Yeah.
This is not.
It's okay,
not
though.
My intent.
But Mike Fiers isn't a bad
guy. I'm also wearing
guy.
A Forest Green shirt. So, this, yeah. I
He's
this
got
is supposed
the full
to be for my
uniform
high school.
On.
I guess I can't wear this ever again.
So you asked this question, and
damn
I thought
it.
This was very interesting. If Houston sports fans still hate Steph Curry, Steph came back, obviously, after missing some time, looked better than ever, had a great attitude. He looked like vintage Steph, not slowing down.
He did. And here's another question I have, because I never got on the bandwagon of hating Steph Curry like a lot of people in Houston did during those Rockets-Warriors games back in the day, mainly because, again, I could not stand James Harden that much that I was willing to root for what's good for basketball, the Warriors, as opposed to the Rockets. Because what the Warriors did over that stretch was beautiful to watch. I don't care what you say. You might hate the way that Steph Curry wore his mouth guard. Oh, he doesn't wear it all the way. My children are watching him. He's a bad influence for them. They might bust their teeth and fall when they're not wearing a mouth guard playing sports. Like, that was one of the random things that was brought up. I love watching Steph, and he was awesome in yesterday's game. He barely played, and he still scored, 30-plus? He was awesome, and it was only 24 minutes of action, half a game, and he looked great. Now, look, it's Denver. Denver's not that good of a team. Jokic is probably your MVP front runner, but the rest of the team around him, not so good. So I suppose, don't say the Warriors are back yet, but I love watching Steph Curry, and I am not ashamed to say that.
I like watching Steph Curry. I think he's good for the game. I think his attitude is good for the game. But I would be interested to see if Houston sports fans still like him or not. We want to know your take. So get at us on Twitch or tweet us. I think he's kind of hard to hate. Am I wrong to say that he's hard to hate?
People here would disagree with
he
you
seems
strongly.
And listen, I'm from Indiana. I know how much I hated LeBron. And when the Heat were coming to play the Pacers, I knew what was going to happen. And I just hated him. And there was nothing anybody could say differently.
I wonder if those feelings would be as strong had the Rockets and Warriors not played each other as much as they did in the playoffs. Because they did play each other at least three, if not four, separate times. And I believe the Warriors won every single time, with only one of them legitimately being a series, which was, of course, the infamous 2018. How the hell do you miss, 27 straight threes in a game? Good God, I have no idea. But and then that gets Rockets fans into doing the whole, the refs, because the Rockets put together this little pamphlet afterwards that outlined all the missed calls that took place in the series. Very sensitive organization, the Rockets.
I was going to say, they're sensitive as the fans.
I'm glad that there's fresh blood there. I'm glad Tad Brown's out, and I'm glad that – and I never had anything against Daryl Morey. I always felt like we had nice interactions and stuff, but I always felt
like – I like Daryl.
I felt like Daryl always was trying to do the same stuff. All the Rockets were constantly trying to spin the world as being out to get them, and it got very tiresome after a while, which is why I, again, never had an issue with the Golden State Warriors. I more had an issue with how the Rockets composed themselves.
Somebody on Twitch said, I'm honestly surprised 13, which is James Harden's restaurant, is still open. That place must be hanging by a thread. I don't know. I've never been there. I think my thing with Houston is that it's so oversaturated with the really, really nice restaurants. That's
not oversaturated. It's not saturated enough. It needs to be completely saturated, Vanessa. Don't you want to see a restaurant? I want to see more Ninfas next to El Tiempo's to really make me think.
But 13's nice, Steak 48, expensive. Yeah, steak, lobster.
It's a terrible title.
13?
I mean, there's a lot of paranoid people that believe 13 is an unlucky number.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a poor branding decision.
Well, it's kicking and still going. James Harden's restaurant.
Well, that's just splendid.
You and I don't.
You know what? Whatever. There's people that work
there.
But
you and I also don't eat places like that.
No,
very
we don't.
Often.
No.
Unless
I'm on a scholarship, if you will.
It's
the parents in town scholarship.
All right. What are your predictions for the rest of the NBA playoffs? What do you foresee happening? And do you think that possibly the 76ers could sweep?
Yeah, I think they will. I think this version of Toronto is not the Toronto we saw a couple of years ago. And it is a shame that they didn't really get to authentically defend their title because Kawhi Leonard was just like, all right, bye. And I don't even know if Kawhi Leonard's played like the last 2 years. It feels like he hasn't. So anyway.
He's been quiet.
Well, he's always been quiet, but now he's even more quiet. I mean, shoot, I don't remember if he played at all this past season. I'm not even kidding. Did he? I don't know. I really don't know. He didn't play.
No.
Wow.
Kawhi Leonard?
Yeah.
No, I don't think he played.
Is he just like living in, you know, a cave in Afghanistan with Tupac or something like that?
His laugh is great.
Tupac's still alive.
No.
Everyone believes that.
I'm not on that conspiracy. But yeah, Steph Curry, 34 points in just 23 minutes after missing about a month with a foot injury. Good to see him back and dominating, and I think he's good for the game. Despite the fact that Houston sports fans might not be super warmed up to him. Still, coming up, talking about Houston sports fans not maybe being warmed up to somebody, Deshaun Watson is in Cleveland. And they have sent a tweet. It might not seem controversial, but allow me to walk you through why it's interesting. Plus, that same team kind of messing up the position markets. That's next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Paul, why aren't you singing? This is your jam.
Well, I don't identify as a girl today.
Oh.
Maybe another day. I'm just a girl.
Here it is.
It's a world. And I don't know the actual lyrics, but I know it sounds like this.
You said your dad likes Gwen Stefani, right?
She does. Wait, he does.
So now your dad identifies as a girl.
Okay. Well, listen, we all identify as whatever we want to. It's 2022.
That's how it is.
Respect my decision. By the way, so he had surgery on his eye today.
Your dad?
And he's going to look like a pirate. So I'm really excited to see this.
G'day, matey.
He's apparently not letting his girlfriend take pictures of this because he is a very proud man, like his son. And I am kind of disappointed in this.
Hold on. If you had a patch over your eye, you would go to the bar and make up some sob story about losing it in the war to get laid.
Funny. I'm not a con artist.
So you can't.
Do you think that would work, though?
Yeah. We lost a lot of good men out there playing for the Yankees. Yeah. To trades.
Good reference. I haven't watched Wedding Crashers in forever.
That was me and my dad's flick. One of the greatest comedies ever. All right, so the Browns haven't tweeted a lot about Deshaun Watson. They obviously tweeted the statement saying that they had done their quote-unquote due diligence. They tweeted about the transaction. But we haven't seen the typical back-and-forth tweets of, hey, this is our guy, this is our quarterback. We did today. Quarterback one in the building, the Browns tweeted a few hours ago, and it's a picture of Deshaun showing up for voluntary workouts in the snow. May not seem like a big deal. I get it, and it's not. But remember, what was one of the huge narratives was that he did not want to be in cold weather, and he is smiling and cheesing in the snow in Cleveland. I think this is intentional.
Yeah. I'm curious as to what the mentions look like. Are they a bloodbath? The poor Cleveland Browns Twitter handle for this whole season, because you're going to have pissed off Steelers fans who have felt victimized for the last forever for endorsing Ben Roethlisberger and all that
right.
he stands for. So they're going to be hostile. Bengals fans are all of a sudden alive again. They're going to be hostile. Ravens fans already are, as it is. The poor Browns Twitter account, whenever they post anything to Deshaun Watson, is going to have to deal with the AFC North folk. They're going to have to deal with all sorts of people online who want to dunk on the Browns for giving Deshaun Watson, noted person under civil suit.
Yeah, I can't read the mentions.
They're that bad?
They're...
okay.
Because Deshaun is holding up two number ones.
Oh, boy.
Which is why they said number one.
Well, at least he's not holding up a two and a two for the 22.
But that's what people have alluded to.
Well, look, it's going to be a long year for that poor bleeper running that account. Like, I feel bad for him. Thoughts
I
and
do
prayers.
Feel for social media teams. I will say that.
What are you supposed to do here?
Right.
Because at some point, you do have to announce that this is your starting quarterback. But I'm sure there's a bunch of people that are in the Browns organization who are like, this is kind of awkward, isn't it?
There's going to be a lot of discussions, I think, within the coming year about something that we're about to talk about, which is what the Browns have done with market value, but also discussions about how this was handled, the amount of guaranteed money Deshaun got, whether you agree with it or not, the fact that they basically set it up to where any fine is going to come out of a different pot of cash. They really finessed this, and I was surprised that Andrew Berry did that. Wasn't surprised that the Haslams did that, but it is a win now league, and they apparently think that this is the person that can help them win now. There were a couple of replies to this tweet involving torn Achilles coming in 3-2-1 because Deshaun did struggle with injury, but we'll see.
Well, that's a weird one.
It's a weird one. I'm just saying it's one I saw like 10 times where people are apparently worried that he's going to get injured. I don't know if that's a concern for him, but.
The snow thing didn't register with me until now. What the hell? It's April 19th. It's snowing?
It's snowing in Indiana.
Oh, wow.
And whatever it does in Indiana on the lakefront in Cleveland is going to be even worse.
I can imagine so. I mean, this is already a little bit of penance for Deshaun Watson. I mean, it's been a beautiful, brisk morning. It got outside. It was like 64 degrees. Not a humid morning. We still got a couple of days of this left.
Somebody tweeted, driving in for an April 19th workout in 2 inches of snow is exactly why he tried his hardest not to pick us. Accurate.
Wow. That looks miserable. I'm not
going
to lie.
It is bad. It is bad. Now, but you're from Boston, so you can handle cold weather.
No, I can't. You say this all the time. I have turned into a soft
so you
little
can't
wuss.
Anymore.
No, I can't do this. I can't do the cold. No. I'm all about not wearing clothes. I am not about wearing clothes. I am not, like, I optimally would like to be on a beach somewhere where my pasty little body will get absolutely toasted as opposed to wearing, like, 5 different coats like I had to in Chicago for St. Patrick's Day. Because it was like sub 32 degrees. It was freezing. I can't do the cold anymore. It's not fun. Your lips get chapped. You shiver. You can't go outside. And in the Midwest, it's worse. Like, I didn't even live in the Midwest.
Bad. It's pretty bad.
You lived in the Midwest part of it.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Can you still tolerate the cold?
It's harder once you've lived in Houston for a few years. And you lived in Florida.
Florida and Houston. So I've spent like 12 years of my life I've lived in the South in some way, shape, or form. And I'm sorry.
I love clearly better down out here. In December and it being like 50-some degrees and being able to go run in leggings and a t-shirt.
See, that's why the winter here is worth the summer. And the summer, I mean, there are beaches. They're not great. But there are pools.
Don't go to a beach here.
You can. I'm not gonna...
I'm just saying if you want to actually go to the beach, like, come on.
Well, yeah, you have to go a little bit south, don't you? You probably go to Corpus or something like that. If you want the optimal sand. But, yeah, it's I think, much better to live where it's hot at its worst than where it's cold at its worst. And all those people who like the seasons, you have never had to shovel your car, your driveway so your car can get out of it. You've never had to ice your car. You have never had to do the 30-minute process that it takes if your car is parked outside to get your car ready to go, like defrosting the windows, getting the ice off, all of those things. And that's just one part of it, shoveling snow, dealing with pissed off Bostonians and parallel parking where they put like a lawn chair down in a spot and they say that this spot's reserved, dude. And then you and you say, wait a second. No, it's not. That's not how this works. And they're like, you don't. You know, I used to know Whitey Bulger, dude. You know, you watch what you're doing over here.
I feel like I'm watching The Departed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. People like to bring up that they knew Whitey Bulger all the time. It's like, do you really want to brag about that?
Yeah. In addition to everything that's gone on with Deshaun Watson, the Browns have, quote unquote, messed up the market for a lot of different teams.
Yeah.
Not only with what they did with Deshaun Watson with all of the guaranteed money, you have to think Patrick Mahomes is looking at that and looking at his agent, Lee Steinberg, and saying, why couldn't you get done what David Mulugeta did? We know that it's going to impact the Ravens, possibly Joe Burrow, when all of these deals come up soon. But it's not just the quarterback position.
Yeah, because they
signed. You had brought this up. Denzel Ward, 5 years, $100 million.
Right.
And then A.J. Brown. Like, you have all these contracts coming up with guys that are going to be looking at the money these other guys are getting from the Cleveland Browns specifically.
Cornerback is interesting, and I look at the Ward contract, and it does make you think, okay, well, if you can get a really good young cornerback on your team, if you're the Texans, which is what I would like to see the Texans do, guess what? You don't have to do that for a couple of years. But eventually, you probably will have to do it. It's funny, going a couple of years ago where Stephon Gilmore got all the money he did, and we were like, whoa, that's a big deal. And that's not even close to what guys like Ramsey got a couple of years ago, and now, of course, Denzel Ward got. But, yeah, all of a sudden, a lot of guaranteed money. And then these wide receiver contracts that you saw this offseason, Vanessa, you can see why after Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill got their deals, A.J. Brown said he's not reporting to the Titans offseason program.
He scrubbed him from his social.
He did it, too. Debo Samuel did it already.
Yes, he did.
I don't know if Terry McLaurin has done it yet, but, I mean, that's a pretty damn good group of young wide receivers who are certainly going to get paid, and that doesn't even include DK Metcalf.
Yeah, good point.
DK Metcalf, I guess, is actually showing up for the offseason program, though, and is not, you know, trying to fight to get some big-time deal extension, at least right now.
Who would have thought that it would be the Browns messing up the market this badly in multiple positions? That's what I can't get over. Now, when they got Deshaun, I think whoever got Deshaun, I think a lot of people were under the impression that they may get a little bit of a quote-unquote discount because of the 22 civil lawsuits. That's what I thought would happen. Didn't happen at all.
No.
He had four teams that met the Texan standards that also met his standards, and they were willing to go all out for him.
Yep. All about the money. I mean, he's willing to overlook snow.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's wrong with you, dude?
It is. The weather in Cleveland is awful.
$253 million guaranteed. Sure. But Cleveland?
He probably still has a house in Houston. He probably still has a house in Atlanta.
That's true. You always do bring this up, and it's funny. Because we do live in different worlds than these guys.
We do, and I remember talking, of all people, to Jim Sorgi back when he did color
Jim
commentary.
Sorgi?
Yeah, hashtag never forget.
He had multiple houses?
No, listen, I was job shadowing Bob Lamy and Jim Sorgi in college.
Okay.
And I talked to Jim Sorgi, and I was like, oh, it must be rough to be on the road all the time. And he's like, that's not how it works in football. You're only on the road for 8 games a year, and you don't have to live wherever you are. Essentially, he was saying it's different than baseball where you're gone, and basketball where you're gone significantly. Football, I don't think it matters where you live. If you're an NFL player, you have to be there for a very limited amount of time.
Yeah, and I suppose...
Training camp, okay, but you don't even have to be there for voluntary workouts.
If you're in those cold weather hellholes, I mean, those cold weather places, you're only there from October through late January.
Have you ever heard of a private jet?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I mean, these guys can go wherever they want, wherever or whenever they want. So,
do you think that you will ever be on a private jet in your life?
No. God.
I don't either.
No, the way you and I live.
Yeah, I've spent too much money on things that are totally unnecessary, like Hawaiian shirts and alcohol.
Spoken like a true Paul Gallant.
Yep.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're talking about the Astros recapping last night. Man, was it fun, but there's a couple of unfortunate clouds over the win. That's next.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.